Let's turn to Acts 12, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses here in Acts 12, and if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read verse 5, and then we're going to jump over to verse 15. I'll just read two verses tonight. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel." Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we just thank you for this opportunity to come and worship in this great nation. We just ask that you be with our military that's protecting us as we speak, for the freedoms we have. And Lord, we just pray for missionaries throughout the world to keep them safe as they're soldiers for you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that everyone here that is saved knows when they walk through the doors that they're a missionary too. And Lord, we just ask now that you be with us, give me the words to speak, that it's your words and not mine. And Lord, I do thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we have an awesome God. So many religions, you have to go to a priest to go to God, or so they say, or you got to do other things to get to the God of their religion. But our God, I know your pastor will listen. I know your pastor will pray for you. But you know, we have the opportunity that we can go directly to God without even going to our pastor. And what an awesome God we have that we can go to him in prayer. And not only does our God listen to us through prayer, our God's given his word to us, how we should live. He gives us his word, and we should be in it every day, learning what he wants us to do for him. Amen. And as I said in my prayer, once we walk through those doors, we are entering our mission field. We're all missionaries if we're saved here tonight. We're all told to go and spread the gospel of Christ. And as you look at prayer, I'm going to just jump to a couple verses here real quick. In Luke 6:12, what an example we have in Jesus Christ to go to our Lord in prayer. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it's not only here but other places, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued to pray all night in prayer to God." I know I've been burdened through the night and gotten up and prayed and went back to sleep. I know I got back up a second time and prayed, but I always went back to sleep. And here the Bible says, and this isn't the only account of Christ praying all night, but Christ went to our Father and prayed all night. And the other example is when he was in the garden and he took disciples with and said, "Stay here and pray, and I'm going over here to pray." And he came back several times, and every time he came back, disciples were probably right like us. They fell asleep during their prayer time. But God is such a Jesus is such a great leader in prayer through the Word. And then if you look in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, he was such an example to the disciples. They knew he was such a great example. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The disciples even ask him a question. And it's a familiar passage. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Teach us to pray." God's word teaches us how to pray to him. And Jesus was our example. What an awesome leader, example we have in Jesus Christ in reaching our Father through prayer. He's the one that taught us how to pray. And he's the example we should follow on how to pray. And you know, so many times it says in the Word to have a private time. We all need to have a private time with Christ. But you know, God wants to hear from us all the time. You know, after church we'll have a little bit of fellowship talking back and forth. And that's what God wants with us. He doesn't want to hear just when we have a problem. He wants to hear our problems, and he wants to hear our joys too. He knows all things. He knows our problems before we even go to ask him. He knows our joys before we even go talk to him, but he wants to hear. He's waiting to hear from us in prayer. How's our prayer life today? And in 1 Timothy 2:8, the Bible says where you can pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Everywhere. I told him my testimony how I listened to the radio that morning when I got saved. I had that same hour drive for 14 months till I got transferred. And, from that day forward, I barely ever listened to the radio. I would get up in the morning, I would read my Bible and have my prayer time, but all the way there and all the way home, I talked to the Lord. And that was probably, I was a new Christian, and that was my strength and my growth right there because I talked to him. I had that time to talk to him. And then I get transferred, and like so many Christians, we don't spend as much time with God as we should. God's just waiting to hear from us. He would like to hear from us more than we all do. And in Psalms 55:17, another example from David, it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. So God wants to hear from us all the time, and he wants to hear from us anywhere. He's listening. I could go to prayer right now, pastor could go to prayer, and you could go to prayer, and our God is so awesome, he hears all of them. What a God we serve. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We should always be praying. Do we pray enough? I tell a story of a brother over at Southside, Brother Ryan. The second last time I was at Southside, we went into the Sunday school class that I go to when I'm there. And Brother Ryan was there, and we had some time. And he said about a praise and a burden. And he brought up a story about a year ago how a young man came to him and said, Ryan, I know you're a Christian and I'm struggling. Wouldn't you please pray for me? And Ryan said, sure, I will. Well, about a month went by and he finally realized he never prayed for him. How familiar does that sound? And, pray without ceasing. And his burden was, from that point on, he'd carry a tablet. And every time he would tell somebody that he would pray for him or somebody would ask him to pray, he would pull out that tablet and write that down. And every day when he went into prayer time, he'd pull that tablet out so he wouldn't forget anybody. Do we have a burden like that, that we don't forget to pray for people? Again, God is waiting to hear from us. And I think one of the biggest things that keeps us from prayer, probably more than we should, and probably question it sometimes, and that's Matthew 21:22. Jesus is speaking, and it says, Matthew 21:22, it says, the Bible says, and all things whatsoever she shall ask in prayer. We're asking in prayer. Whatever we ask in prayer, the next word in that verse is believing. Ye shall receive. How many times do we go to prayer, in prayer, and before we probably even say amen, our thoughts are going on how we're going to fix it? Our thoughts are, will God answer this prayer for us? We don't have the belief. And if you go back to our text, the second verse I said, there was a church praying for Peter to be released. And when he was released and came to the door, they even told the lady, you're mad. That's not Peter. If you go back to the text, I brought this text up. The Lord's been laying on my heart to bring this message. I've preached it a couple times because of our prayer life. I think, and Pastor mentioned it, for revival. I think we need churches praying for revival. And the churches aren't praying enough in this nation for revival. But if you look at this, the text, Peter and James were there. James was killed. And then Peter, because the Jews showed such joy in James being killed, Herod went and caught Peter and put him in jail. My question, once I read that text, was why did Herod only put him in prison and didn't kill him as well as like he did James? And if you go on with the story, the church came together and started praying. And it was all night. They prayed. gathered together, praying all night without ceasing, the Bible says. There Peter is, thrown in jail, has guards at every door, has two guards chained to him, and there's the church. The church came together and started to pray for Peter's release. And as the story goes, if you look at this text, as the story goes, an angel came, released Peter, got Peter freed, and went on. Now my question is, first of all, is don't we have a God that could release Peter without an angel? We do. Don't we have a God that could release Peter with just an angel, had the angel appear? But God wanted to see the faithfulness of the church. And even though when Peter was released, they didn't believe he was released at first until they saw him, God still answered their prayer because they were faithful as a church and went into prayer all night. Because Peter fell asleep. You know, it was through the night, and Peter was sleeping. Their persistence in prayer, their faithfulness, and that's what we need in churches today, to have prayer as a church. The power of prayer. What was the power of this prayer? Peter was freed. And I look at it three ways. We have, individually, we have power in prayer. We can go to our God, and one person could have went to God that night, and probably Peter would have been freed in prayer. As an individual, we have power in prayer, going to our God if we're faithful. But you know, if you have a family that prays, doesn't that bring even more power to our Lord? He answers those prayers even quicker. But I think the most powerful prayer is when a church comes together and prays for something. What power that is. And I have a great example. When we got saved, we started going to a small church, Maristown Baptist Church. It was the year was coming to an end, and they had a big mortgage. They had a mortgage of about $150,000, and the pastor kept announcing that starting in the new year, his main goal as a church was we were going to pray that mortgage would be paid off, and the following year on New Year's Eve, we were going to have a special New Year's Eve service and praise the Lord for the mortgage to be paid off and burn the mortgage. We prayed every service. It was never forgotten. And then we even went to the extreme. Every quarter, we had Friday night, the doors open of the church at 5 o'clock in the evening, and they were kept unlocked till 5 o'clock the next evening, Saturday, 24 hours. And you signed up for at least an hour. And you had to be there. And the rule was, if you were 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning and you were done praying your hour and nobody came, somebody forgot to come, you were asked to stay until somebody came. You were supposed to pray whenever you could during that 24-hour period, but when you were at the altar, they wanted at least one person at the altar. And we did that every quarter. We did it four times. And you know, that next New Year's Eve, we had that special service, and we burned a mortgage. Power in prayer as a church. Prophet of prayer. If you look at verse 17, and this is a part I want to hit on. Peter, as we all know, was a disciple and a missionary. He was going around spreading the gospel. That's why he was thrown into jail, talking and teaching about Jesus. He was doing his missionary work. You know, Peter could have came out of that jail and said, well, I got caught one time, I'm not going to get caught again. But you know, Peter went back to the church, let them know that he was freed, and he continued on. He went to another place and started preaching the gospel. And because of that, the prophet in prayer is people were saved. Because I'm sure as Peter went around spreading the gospel, teaching about Jesus Christ, people were saved and brought into the kingdom of God. So you have the persistence in prayer, their faithfulness, the power of prayer, Peter was freed, and the prophet, souls were saved because Peter continued to do what he wanted. And that church, you know, that church went to pray. You know, that church could have been a church that said, well, you know, King Herod's pretty mean, he killed James, we're not saying nothing. You know, just mumbled between themselves. They could have been like some people in America today and made signs and went and protested to King Herod, why you have Peter in jail. They could be like a lot of churches today and not even say a word. Just, you know, Peter knew the consequences. He was caught. Do you know there's missionaries today? I'm going to Guyana, South America. I have the persecution of probably like America. You know, there isn't nothing to be afraid of in Guyana as far as persecution. But you know, there's missionaries today, as they're teaching the word of God in other countries, if they were caught, they'd be thrown out of the country. If they were caught, they'd be thrown into jail. Do you know there's missionaries today, if they were caught teaching the gospel where they're at, in radical Muslim countries, they would be killed as James was? Are we as a church praying for missionaries? Missionaries, you know, I'm here, as Pastor said, on the deputation trail. I need the finances to go, but you know, my bigger goal is I want as many churches praying for me as possible. I want individuals praying for me. I want families praying for me, but I want churches praying for me and my family as we're going. We need prayer for protection. We're going to a country that there's some diseases, you know, that we don't have to fight here. We need prayer for protection from them. We need prayer. Missionaries need prayer from persecution, as we talked about. Missionaries need prayer for travel. Here in the United States, as we're going around the country traveling, we need prayer for traveling mercies and protection. But there's missionaries that have to go up and down the rivers, across woods, across mountains, into villages. I know Mexico, I know there's some missionaries down there that if they go on certain roadways, bandits are waiting for them. You know, they need protection for traveling mercies and from persecution and from diseases. We need prayer for provisions. You know, if you pray for our finances, God will provide. If we have faithful churches and faithful people praying, God will provide for our needs in our family and our needs in our ministry. And prayer for prosperity. Please pray that, I'm only going in January, but pray that the hearts are being softened now, that once our family gets there, that their hearts are softened. Brother Dean's been there for 10 years, and I know there's people there that aren't saved. And because Brother Dean has been, a lot of people have been saved. He had over 400 people in church on Easter Sunday and had 20-some saved. People are getting saved, but there's also people that don't want to hear about it. And my prayer is that you pray that those hearts are softened when we get there, that something I or my family might say to bring them to Christ that Brother Runyon couldn't do. Brother Runyon's planting the seed, and I need to plant maybe another seed, because we all know God does the saving. We just need to do our part and spread the gospel. So pray for us. I go around, and when I do this message in closing, I do give you all a challenge. And you already do it, I see it, is pray for a missionary a week as a church, or a month. Keep families in prayer, each missionary. Ones you sponsor, ones you know. My daughter Kimberly is what an example. She puts me to shame. She has a big old pile of missionary cards, and so many times I'll go into her bedroom in the morning wondering where she's at. All the other kids are up and at it and done their devotions, and I'll walk in there and she'll have these cards spread out all over her bed, and she'll be praying for the missionaries. And that's what we need. We need prayer. We need prayer. Not only do we need prayer, you need prayer as missionaries as you go through that door. And we need prayer as a country. So my challenge to you is how is your prayer life? Is it where it should be? And if not, go to God and start praying, because He's just waiting for all of us to come. And if we would all do like 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, turn from our wicked ways and pray and seek Him, He will heal our land. He's just waiting. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And, you know, He just wants to hear from us. But don't ever forget, as we're going to Him in prayer, He also wants to speak to us through His Word. Don't forget the Bible. I had a pastor tell me one time, you know, if you had 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes one day, and the last thing you could do, what would you do? Would you pray or read your Word? And he said, you would want to read your Word, because that's God talking to you. He knows what you're thinking and what's in your heart. Listen to what He wants. But God gives us a whole lot more time, so He wants to hear from us too. So thank you, and let us close in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time together. I just thank You for this church and their heart for missions and their heart for prayer. As before I even came up to speak, everything was pray for them, pray for them. And Lord, that's what we need. We need churches that are praying together to strengthen the mission field, to strengthen our country. and to strengthen our families, Lord. Again, I just thank you for all you do. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your words, Lord. And I just pray that, me included, we're not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. And we ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.